Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everybody, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and I am broadcasting to you today from Heidelberg, Germany. Now, I have never been to Europe. This is my first time, and it's my second day. And despite a little bit of jet lag, I've got to tell you, I am having an awesome time. I now love Germany. I feel like so much of Germany, they're my peeps. What do I mean by that? Well, gosh, I mean, everything in Germany is engineered so well. They take time with every little thing to make sure that it's perfect, that it's as good as it can be. And it's like every time you turn around, you're meeting the mind of somebody who thought through a problem you didn't even know you had. For instance, I couldn't figure out how to work any of the electricals in my hotel room. I was absolutely baffled why my air conditioning wouldn't turn on, my TV wouldn't turn on, the lights wouldn't turn on. And I realized there's this little box that says card, and you'd put your room key card in that box, and it allows everything in the room to work. Then when you take that card to leave, it turns everything off. It's just an amazing idea that changes the whole thing. You don't have to wait for your water to get warm. You don't have to be concerned about a silly little shower head. And this is not like some over-the-top fancy hotel I'm in. I'm in the Holiday Inn. And if it's here, it's everywhere. You look around the entire city, and everything is engineered way better. It's not overrun by what I call China crap, or one word, schnapp. Everything is built to last. It's got quality and design and simplicity and efficiency. And in that sense, from an engineering perspective, it is really cool. Everything is dialed in. So Germany is a fun, clean, tidy little place. And at least Heidelberg is, from my experience. And I really like it. You know, there are limitations, though. It's not a perfect place, certainly. The rigid, controlled kind of part that permeates the culture is also the same thing that I think stifles people's entrepreneurial spirit. They would plan something their whole life before they ever took two steps to do it. Until they absolutely had it all dialed in, every detail, they probably wouldn't begin it. And there's other things too. You can see why they think Americans are so noisy and loud and boisterous and obtuse and big-headed, but by comparison, they're very stoic and contemplative and serious and stern. And so they don't use sarcasm, and they don't use those kind of humor to break up tension and things like that. They just take things head on. So it's a really neat cultural experience. There's a lot of neat differences, and I've really come to love the German people and everything I'm learning about them. You know, one of the things that I've always been told growing up in the Christian church was that the decline of Christianity and the church in Europe is the decline that America is one day also going to face. And they saw the churches in Europe as relics, as museum pieces. And I've always heard this kind of talk, and it kind of comes through a voice of pride, a voice of arrogance, and kind of looking down on European people who have, in the American viewpoint, lost their faith. They see them as basically becoming secularized, as turning loose of the gospel, turning loose of their Bible, forgetting about the faith and everything that that they're a part of. What I discovered was something very different. So I was talking to, as you know, if you've listened to the first couple of podcasts, I'm in the world of of bioinformatics, human cancer, genetic diagnostics, and so I'm a part of a company called Molecular Health, and I'm out here visiting our corporate headquarters for a team meeting, and I got to speak with one of the medical doctors who served out here, went to school out here. And one of the things that was coming up in the university tour that we were on was just the main core aspects of the university. And they're all painted on the ceiling, and they had science, and they had health and medical care. They had like mathematics and those kinds of things. But the very first thing was theology. Yes, theology was a foundational principle of their whole university. In fact, in the European world, universities are there because we first have diversity. And the university was a place where all of these ideas come together under one thing. And what was amazing to me is that they are unapologetically strong defenders of that one solid thing that unites all disciplines in the university, theology. It blew me away. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to take this doctor on, well, not in like an argumentative way, but I really wanted to kind of address this subject a little further while I was at dinner. And that's exactly what I did. So I went to him and I just said, you know, hey, I was really kind of learning a lot, taking it all in. And this is something that you brought up. And I shared with him that the American perspective is typically one that says your faith has left the building and all you have is the building. And it seems from our perspective as though all you focus on is the outside. And the thing that was on the inside, the purpose for building those amazing buildings and high steeples and the amazing craftsmanship and the work and the time that goes into all these historical places, that deep meaning has somehow left the culture. And he explained to me something that I was just blown away by. Essentially, that everything he's doing, his scientific pursuits, his Hippocratic oath, which is to first do no harm, the purpose of genetic research, the development of a cancer test that can be accessible to all people to prevent them from the deadly effects of cancer drugs, all of this was birthed out of a solid foundation which has its history in theology. And in his world, it was the Christian tradition. And so basically what you have is you have a deep commitment to history, that history being founded on the principles of love thy neighbor, of you know, like I say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, where when Jesus made that statement in Luke and also in Matthew, he told people, if you got that law, every other law in the whole book hangs on that. So if you got that one, you've got them all. And what this was an integration of all things. And he seemed to be extremely confident that most Europeans have that perspective. In fact, the reason why the churches seem like relics are because people are no longer subscribing to the idea that the local community church, as beautiful as it is something that needs to hijack their life and that they have to give all their resources and time and money and all of that. They're not sucked into that system. In fact, they're liberated to go out, live their life, and engage in community, and that is what the cities are all about. The sidewalk cafes, the great beers and dinners, and the time that they allow you in the restaurants to sit and to be, the parks with trees, with people laying out there, the fact that your lunch hour or 2 hours or 3 hours is there for you to partake the best part of the day with your friends and your family and to relax and enjoy your life. That all these things are not separated parts, but they're all integrated into a whole that's stemming out of a historical concrete faith. And I was blown away because it's so vivid. And what's interesting is it's like, I totally get that. In fact, you know, I've read the Bible more than 40 times. And I can tell you that it says things in there that people who read their Bible a little bit don't even want to know is in there. And it says things in there that people who never read their Bible would love to hear if they actually knew it was in there. And the bottom line is that it's all pointing in that direction. It's not pointing to you scouring down your life, trimming down so much of the things that you love and enjoy so that you give more and more time to this one abstract thing in your life that takes you over and eventually promises you happiness on the other side. The text in the scripture is all about helping you to live abundantly, to live fully, to live freely, and to not be hijacked by systems, be they religious systems or political systems or educational systems or entertainment systems or sports systems, business systems. All of these things have their own sense of religion that entraps people, strangles people, stifles people, distracts people, anesthetizes people. You know, Christ came to liberate us from that. In fact, the whole purpose of good news, the term euangelion, which we see in Luke 4, is a story about this prophecy from Isaiah 61 that says this is actually good news for poor people. This is the liberation of the captive. It's the opening of the prison door. It's the proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor. So what's happening and what I see is that the function of the gospel is not to create so many churches that are competing against each other, saying, I'm better than that church, and this is why, and struggling to get by. But the function of the gospel is to liberate people into their life. And I remember one time when I was an elder at the church that I was at, I asked our elder board this very question. I said, what if the church has so hijacked the lives of its people that liberation actually seemed sinful? And I know that was a tough question to ask, but it's the reality. And I want you to hear that. I want you to ask that about, maybe it's not your church, maybe it's the system you're in. Are you giving it all away in the business world? Are you giving it all away in an educational pursuit? Are you trying to get a title, a certain award, a gold medal? Is there something out there that you've decided that if you had that, it's going to give you an identity, a purpose, a belonging, a name? If so, you don't have to be entrapped by that. You can actually possess it and not be possessed by it. You know, you can be liberated. And that's something I think emerged in my mind this week, is that the European people are very liberated. They make choices based on human rights, on what is right for all people. They are excited about diversity. They're excited about the joining of unity and diversity coming together into one place. And we all should be so excited. And that is exciting because that's exactly the picture the Bible paints of the church. It's the place where unity and diversity can coexist in a powerful way, where the Germans' commitment to engineering and strength and precision can really help the Americans' focus, the Americans' commitment to not settle for crap, whether it's in your toothbrush, your desk, your lighting, or your faucets. You're certainly not in your cars, right? And then the Americans can help liberate the Germans and not let them listen to those voices that would defeat them and tell them not to try, to just step in line. You know, one of the most amazing things I just couldn't get over is nobody jaywalks in this town. I could not believe it. There could be no car coming on the street for a mile, and people will literally sit on the sidewalk until the light turns green. And I literally was just walking across the street, and my other American friends are looking around in confusion, like, why are they waiting? Well, this world that they live in has amazing structure, amazing control and discipline. And, you know, it's stoic, yes, but, you know, they could learn from us a little bit, not to be rebellious, but to laugh out loud sometimes, to be a little sarcastic, to swing for the fences, to dream really, really, really big. So that's the message. That's the pontification, is what a big world we live in. What a diverse world we live in. It's amazing. I love the trajectory that we're on. I know some people feel like it's going to hell in a handbasket. And yes, there's pain and wars and suffering, and I don't minimize any of that. But there's also this amazing trend, this trajectory that we're on, where racism and diversity is on decline in many parts of the world, especially in areas where the consciousness is higher. So celebrate that where you can. Work to change that where it's not happening fast enough. After all, we're here to make that difference, and I want to encourage you to do so. Thanks so much for listening to the KevCast. I hope you'll tune in the next time. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.